Tonight, we're going to shift our perspective in a lot of areas. We're not just on a quest for an open heaven. God is on a quest. The Lord told me, I don't want my people praying a lifetime and not getting answered prayer. I want them to understand I purchased a kingdom for them. And there's so many things that people are not receiving because they don't know how to get it out of heaven into the earth. He goes, I want you to understand this. I want the body, the Father's house to understand it. He goes, I want the world to understand it. And I'm not saying God doesn't answer prayer. The kind of prayer I'm actually talking about is not where God will move a few things down here for you. The kind of prayer I'm talking about is bringing something out of heaven reserved for you, bringing it through you and bringing it into the earth. And something of that magnitude will last. It's immovable. When God does it that way, it's an immovable inheritance that cannot be taken, stolen, and the enemy can't have it no matter what. If God brings something to you in other way, the enemy will challenge it. So when you build it on the word, it is an unchallengeable force. It doesn't matter. He can beat on that rock all he wants. He cannot move it. It's built on a forever settled operation in God. So that's what we want. And whenever you bring anything to birth like this, the Lord was speaking to me. He said, once you bring it out, it's here. Amen. But you've opened the gate. So the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the tenth and the hundredth thing you bring out, you're bringing through a road that was open. When you're first starting, you have to literally open every single road available within and without to get it through. And so that takes more work and more time. He said, before you actually embark on this, he said, tell them this, because he tells me this often. The first thing you have to settle is two or three things before you even get started. If you don't settle this within your heart, you'll quit. You'll quit before you see it, or you'll get distracted. The first thing is, out of Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. Notice the words he says, for he that cometh to God must. He doesn't give you a choice. Must believe. Everyone say, I must believe. Period. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. So you have to settle before you get started that there is a reward for what you're going to do. Because I'm not going to lie to you. This is going to take some effort on your part. He actually used the word effort and work. In the next verse, he said to me, tell them this. It's just a different kind of work. The kingdom of this world is built on human works. The kingdom of heaven is built on God's work of believing. One man could believe in an heir. That heir is still multiplying to this day, and so is the heavenly fruit from that heir. Whatever you do will outlast you and beyond your life. John 6, he said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said this, man, I spent a lifetime finding this definition. I'm getting really, really, really good at it now. I see it very clearly. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe. Now, the first thing you need to understand is believing is probably a different definition than what you might think believing is. Believing is not knowledge, although knowledge is incorporated in believing. Believing is not just getting inspired, although you're going to get inspired. You're going to have to go beyond a day of inspiration of the soul. You're going to have to go beyond a day where your heart gets inspired. That's just the beginning of believing. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't know how to say this other way. I'm going to say it the way he said it. He says, believing is a work. He actually said it. Believing is work. It takes work. I'm not going to tell you any other way to do it. It takes work. It's not the kind of work that the world has you to do. It's actually a work of joy. The Bible says he fills us with all joy and peace in believing. It's not sorrowful work. It can be joyful. It can be exciting if you get positioned in it properly. Amen? So I'm just telling you that. First thing you got to know, he's a rewarder. Second thing you got to know, there's some work involved. If you don't want to do the work, I'm going to go find somebody who wants to do the work because there is some reward here. Remember, he's telling you there is a reward. When a treasure hunter is hot on the trail for treasure hunting, I used to watch this show where this guy was, he actually got maps from a guy that went up, one of the original astronauts, took a lot of pictures from space, and he actually saw forms of ships down around the Bahamas when he was in space. He had a telescope to go down, and he was taking all kinds, and he built maps for these ships and gave it to this guy's dad. And this guy ended up started treasure hunting. Sure enough, he found ships with treasure down there from one of the original astronauts. He could see the picture of a ship, and they couldn't see it. They were looking for him. And anyway, when he'd get hot on the trail, they wouldn't sleep. They would stay up all night. They would work all day. But when you're getting hot, when you know there is a treasure and there is something there, you will go after it. That's why you've got to believe before you get started here. There is a treasure. We're on a quest for something. We're not on a quest for normality here. We are on a quest to bring heaven into the earth. We're on a quest to see the treasures of heaven not only preached, but manifested and demonstrated in our midst. Amen? One of the third things we have to see is forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Every part of your prayer life is going to be centered in that word. And you have to know it's already been settled in heaven. And if it gets settled in the earth, it's on. Amen. One other scripture, Luke 17. Kingdom of God does not come by observation or ocular evidence. If you're looking out here, you're looking in the wrong place. Behold, lo, the kingdom of God cometh within. Christ came out of a womb. The promises come out of the spiritual womb. They're going to get birthed inside. They're going to come out from inside. Heaven is not bypassing you unless there's a miracle involved. It's coming through you. Now, that's a dynamic heaven should not have done, honestly, because we got a lot of issues sometimes to get heaven through us. There is some blockaded issues within us, veils. The one day we're seeing, one day we're not. And the enemy is very skillful at throwing roadblocks in the middle of our heart because he knows what plugs heaven up. That's why every time you're speaking about prayer, God will say, and when you have a trespass against any, forgive, because if there is a standing trespass, he knows God can't answer your prayer. He cannot. So there are things that have to be settled in the heart. That's why I said your first birth is always the hardest one, because it's got to get rid of a few things. Unworthiness can block you from receiving. Amen? It's constituted as doubt and unbelief. Realize that this kingdom comes within. Now, I want to get into this word today when I heard the Lord speak it to me. This whole message I'm going to give you tonight came out of one word. He said, when you pray. I knew he was trying to tell me something. He goes, there are things that you're going to do when you pray that's only going to be done when you pray. That are not going to happen any other time. It's not going to be happen when you're taking a walk. It's not going to happen when you're riding a bike. It's not going to happen when you're working. It's not going to happen going to church. It's not going to happen any other time than when you pray. So when he said, when I say when you pray, I am talking about the time that you pray. Isn't it amazing how we can reduce when you pray down to 5 minutes? You're not going to get a lot of things done, I'm sorry, in the kingdom advancement operation by 5 minutes. You've got to give yourself. Amen? But there are things specifically that he is saying to do when you're praying. Now tonight I'm going to challenge you with a couple of these wins. Amen? So you might win. When thou prayest, and you got to be King James or it's not going to get answered. Enter thy closet. Shut the door. We've heard this a lot, son. I'm just saying, okay, that's the position. When you pray, get in position. He's positioning you for kingdom transference. And as you pray to your Father, by faith, go into the face of the Father. Amen? When you pray. He also said, he didn't actually say the word when, but he's saying when you stand and pray, abide in me, my words abide in you. We talked a lot about that on Sunday. Why did he say that? Just for a review point, because I got to get to the juice tonight. But I can't get to the end without giving you this. Why did he say abide in me and then my words will abide in you? Then you can ask what you will. You have to believe. So the reason why you're going to need to abide in him, because whatever you're believing for is going to need some water It's going to need some life. It's going to need some light. It's going to need some grace. It's going to need things along the way before it comes out. It's going to need Him. And if you'll keep it in front of Him and with Him and in front of Him into abiding place with Him, that word will stay alive in you. Otherwise, it'll dim. And if it dims, you're going to let go. If you let go, the enemy will snatch. You know how many things he's stolen in our journey? But if you'll keep it in the presence of the Lord, keep His word, keep the word of promise. I'm going to say this to you. You might not like it. Everyone in this house right now should have something very specifically they're working on in their faith. They should have something that they have zeroed in on that has not happened. That's a chief desire of your heart. Don't just say, oh, we're with you in the crowd. No, that's not good enough. You got to have something specific to you. Amen. Personal. Because if you can't do this, then God can't bring greater things. And this is the generation bringing the greater things out. So we need a mandate, a prayer, something specific. He said, in that day that you know that you're in me and we're in the Father, in that day you know the union, in that day you're abiding in me, in that day my word's abiding in you, in that day you've learned how to come in, go through the door, stand in my presence, in that day you've learned entrance, access, shutting the door to the world, in that day I'm going to introduce you to the Father, and you're going to pray to the Father, and you need to ask. He's going to, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, because you didn't know what is my name, but if you can find anything in my name, it's yours. Whatsoever you desire that's in my name, you can have it, because I purchased it for you. And it is yours, whether you have received it or not. And he goes, hitherto you've asked nothing but ask. He is giving us an invitation to ask. And then we get the people from that other church that says, well, I don't need anything. Man, we need revival. We need good health. We need our city on fire for God. We need a house full of hungry believers. Amen. If you don't need anything for you, believe God for someone else. There's not a person alive, I don't care, millionaire or not, that doesn't like to receive gifts. That's the way we're made. We love it. Especially from our Father. Amen. And he says, in that day, you'll ask me nothing. For I said, whatsoever you ask of my Father, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. And what? Your joy. You know, there is a fullness of joy that not a lot of Christians are experiencing on a regular basis. A joy that he specifically spoke of through receiving what you asked for from your Father and directly from your Father. Amen? Your joy gets full. If God starts answering your prayer, you're going to have joy. Because you know God did it just for you. You gotta know you're loved when you're like that. You can't walk around unworthy and full of depression and think God's gonna do that. But if God's answering your prayer, you're gonna walk around with a little spring in your step and say, my God loves me. I'm telling you, He does. It doesn't matter what you say about me. He likes me a lot. He answers my prayer. You see? He wants our joy full. This is what He said to me. He said, when you pray, this is something you don't hear very often. Really taught in this perspective that he's saying it tonight. And I want to share this tonight the way he said it to me. Because when he says something and he lines you, it causes a reaction of the Spirit inside you. It causes the Word of God to start springing up in a new way. And it's pretty amazing. So it's coming out of Mark 11. And it said, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Kenneth Hagin built his entire ministry for 50-something years on this verse right here. Whosoever say unto the mountain, be thou removed, cast in the sea, shall not doubt his heart. Believe those things that he says will come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith. Now he's talking about how to have faith in God. He's actually talking about praying. So watch this. He's going to say something that got my attention. And he says, therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, and you can write in my name, which there's a lot in his name. You just got to find it. When you pray, believe that you have received it. NIV. Now, this is the part I swear I've taught on this 100 times. I never saw it. He kept saying it to me. When you pray, I want you to do this. When you pray, not any other time, not when you're out working out, not when you're in your car driving around. When you pray, when you have designated a time that's between me and you, I want you to do this. I want this as a part of your prayer routine, is the way he said it. I want the believing as a part of your prayer routine. I want you to learn how to believe. I want you to exercise the art of believing. I want you to learn and have a participant on a daily basis of moving your heart from a position of asking, abiding and asking, to a position of having fully received within. You're not going to start there. I've already believed, I received, that's it. That's not what he's saying here. Lip service is not going to settle this one. And the reason it's not, now listen to me very carefully. You can't just say, I got this, I'm moving on. This has to be a word of God that on a daily basis, when you pray, you initiate what God's definition means to believe, which is your heart moving from a place of asking to a place that has already seen the finish line, experienced the finish line, believe it's already received, or like Joshua said, see that I have given. It's the same thing. Believe that you have received. See that I have given. That is a place that happens in your heart. And to prove that, he gave me Romans 10. He says, you believe where? Believe that you received. In your heart and in your mouth. It can't just be the mouth saying it. There has to be a fundamental shift within your heart, an image shift. It has to be an image. He said, it's not just going to be a word. It has to develop an image where you see that I have given it from the eye of your heart. You know that I have given it from the realm of your heart. It has to be painted within you. It won't start there. It ends there. And then once it gets there, I'll bring it into the earth. But today he answered why that has to happen. He goes, I'm going to tell you why that has to happen this way. So let's look at Romans 10. Notice the two correlating thoughts of Old Testament and New Testament. See that I have given. Believe that you have received. You see that? But all of this doesn't take place in the mind because very specifically Romans tells us where you are to believe. Romans 10 says it. Romans 10 and 10 says, for with the heart man believeth. See, he said, if you believe in your heart and doubt not, there is going to have to be a removal of a doubt within. It's a realm of doubt that has to be pushed out. And then what's going to occupy is this word. And then he spoke to me something today. It was really profound. Never heard it before. He said, let's consider Noah for a minute. Because there are people who say, well, I don't really do the image thing. I don't understand that. You know, you'll hear them. They'll say, God doesn't want you touching the imagination. But he actually does. Think about this. You wouldn't be here if Noah didn't employ his imagination. Noah didn't have a Bible. It was in his hand. He didn't have that. He walked with God. God brought, watch this, his living word to Noah. And he said, listen, the whole earth has come up. All flesh has come up before me. He goes, I have to destroy it. It's gotten out of hand. And he goes, so I want you to build an ark. There is not a single day that it ever rained on the face of the earth since Noah's time. There was never a boat that he ever could see. Water came up from the earth. There was never rain that came down from heaven. But then God sent a flood. He said, I'm going to send a flood. I want you to build an ark. Well, what does an ark look like? It looked like what God said it looked like. Because God's the one that spoke it to him. Think about God telling you to build something that has never been built in the history of mankind, that you have no mental image of it before. He gave him an image of that boat. How do you think he could build it unless it was inside of him? And for 100 years, that image was in his imagination while he was building it. God told him the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth of it. But he didn't just see something with wood. He saw the ark forge inside of him. Because when God speaks, he releases the creative image with it. So he carried a creative image of the thing he's building. Because that is the design of dominion God give to man. When God speaks something, it will have a creative image with it. If you've not got to the phase of creative image, you got to keep going in front of him until that thing explodes till you carry an image. Because the word's living. Say it's living. The word is rhema. We have to have a rhema word inside because that heaven's done it that way from the beginning. Heaven's changing not. Because what God is putting inside of you is already settled in heaven. Where he's settling it is here. Because a war is coming. Because the enemy is going to challenge something. And you are no match for him, no matter how great you think you are. But inside, you have something that he has no match for. And what he is challenging is the word that's inside of you. And God said, listen, I'm going to build something that nothing in the earth can overcome. There is no system in the earth can overcome it. There's no system that can break it down. There's no persecution can destroy it. It will become a rock within you and a rock around you when it manifests. But until it becomes in you, the Bible says the word of the Lord is what? Tried. That word has to form inside of you. And so if we don't take the time when you pray, believe, or when you pray, see that I have given, there must be an aspect of what we're praying for that we close our eyes and see. I call it perambulation. You call it what you want. That he has given you. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? Do you have an image of that? Are you going to that image every day when you pray? Because if we will just do it the way he said to do it, that's what he kept saying to me. He goes, my people would just do it the way I say to do it. He goes, I will do it. If they would employ this every day when they pray, I will keep the image alive. If they will come to the door, if they will abide in me, I will keep that light in you. I'll keep the image alive, and then I'll cause it to expand on the inside of you. I'll cause it to grow. And every time you meditate upon it, I'll cause another aspect of it to grow, and another aspect, and I'll keep a living day inside of you. I'll keep a living image, a living promise. And when the enemy comes with persecution, or he comes with affliction, or he comes with betrayal, or he comes with trespass, or he comes with circumstantial evidence that says you're never, ever going to happen. You think it's easy to walk up in this church after all these years of carrying this promise and see where we are? Do you think it's easy to override that? If I don't have this word I'm looking at, and I started looking around me, everybody, everywhere, it don't matter. You start looking at circumstances, you are going, in this time in life that we're in, you are not going to be a happy person. But if you can find something to look at, if you can set your eye and turn it in and keep it in front of the master, will you pray? If you can believe, what does it mean, believe you receive? It means you've got a journey somewhere in your heart to a finish line, and you got to find an image of something that's completed, done, finished. Ana and I go to the same image every day. Our image of what we're believing for ends in a wedding day, a literal wedding day. The word of God will overcome anything if you won't let go. The thing is, no matter what kind of picture you're seeing, don't let it overtake the one inside. That's why God requires you feed it every day, because if you don't feed it, the enemy will try to override it. And he is mean. He doesn't fight fair. But I've got something inside of me that's stronger than him. He might could beat me down. He may override me here and there, but he can't override this thing I've got inside. And every day I'm feeding, it's growing. Because if we build it on us, the enemy's going to tear it apart. I've seen him do it too many times. The Lord said, if you want to build something, build it in me. Build it by my word, and the enemy cannot tear it apart. Though he may beat on the house, it will stand. If you build, that's the problem with what people are building now. I mean, if it's not built on the word, it can scatter and be torn apart. God can raise you from the dead if it's built on his word. Amen. Inside. All the days when you pray, just do it. Just do it the way he said, you know, Lord, when I pray today, I'm going to enter the door. How many enter the door when you pray? How many of you enter in to see that I have given you what you asked for when you pray? See the difference? See, we've gotten so far, but we've not let our faith go to the next place to believe him for something and just see. If he could give Moses the imagination to build a boat that never had ever been built before, where the rain was going to come down that never rained before, and he could build that image inside, then couldn't he give you an image of what you're believing for? You could employ that and see that and believe you've received it, you see? Believe that you receive in the realm of the heart. He just had me say, write these words and type them out. So straight from him. I didn't write this out. These weren't my thoughts. I caught the flow. Believing you have received constitutes shifting the interior realm of the heart into a place that sees that I have given. With imagery and at times feelings and a full persuasion that you have already received it. An interior picture or panoramic image must be created within via the entrance of the word of promise, abiding in Christ, the poetry of believing, keeping his word, and perambulation. That image, now as he was sharing with me, as you do this, the image inside will grow. Faith is growing. There's a reason why it's growing. It's got to overcome things in you. The first one he told me, the first one will always be the hardest because it has to overcome in things inside of you. But once those things are overcome, it'll come on out. And that's where we are right now. To activate this type of believing, faith must be employed and activated to paint a finished image of what you're believing for. Believe that you have received. It cannot be simple lip service or adolescent pride saying, I got this. Remember, this is when he started telling me why we're doing this. The word of the Lord is tried. It must be daily attended to by way of keeping the word until the heart receives, now this is what you're praying for now, until the heart receives the full persuasion and speaks both that persuasion and image into the earth. When you get to the point where the image has been formed, you're living in it, dwelling in it, speaking it, and fully persuaded, you're getting very close now for God to transplant that into the earth. Because now, watch this, believe it or not, God has answered it. God has said yes. It's been transferred out of heaven. It's moved into your heart as a word that's become a living word with the same image as it had in heaven. Now it's still invisible, but it's not invisible to you. It's fully alive. It's fully been painted within, so to speak, right? It's rhema, and it's living inside of you. Now it's ready to be transplanted into a kingdom of darkness. It's going to invade that realm of darkness. It's going to invade the realm that the devil says his. But when you come to invade the devil's realm, you better have something. It's a word that's greater than him, and he knows it. That's why he wars on it and wars on it before he gets to this level. Because when God gets ready to pull it out of you and cause that invisible to become visible, the enemy cannot challenge it. He'll try anything he can to stop it, but it's too late. It's living now. It's fullness now. Do you see it? That word, because the Lord has to let it grow up inside of you so it can stand the test of time, tribulation. It can stand the test of pressures. It can stand the test of everything the enemy wants to throw at it to kill it, steal and destroy. But once it comes into the earth, it's a solidified, settled in the earth as it was settled in heaven. The enemy cannot take it. He cannot tear it apart. He cannot ever have it. It came down from heaven and now it abides in the earth. And it's with you forever. It's forever. It's God's steel curtain around it that says off limits, devil. And the devil knows it. Your ability to see what I'm saying is as important as what I'm saying. Remember, the word of the Lord is tried. The finished image will be able to stand the test of patience, warfare, tribulation, persecutions, criticisms, intense circumstantial doubt. You know what that intense circumstantial doubt is? That he will bring a circumstance that's absolutely 100% opposite of what you're believing for. And he'll challenge every single thing you're believing for. He'll bring a challenge to it. Spirits will come out. Strong men will come out. It's not fair what happens sometime. It's not easy. I'm telling you, what I'm talking about is not for the faint of heart. You've got to know, Bo, you're going to be what in the beginning he says, I will reward you if you'll stay with it. If you'll bring my word from heaven to earth, to see it come into the earth, I'll reward you openly. He's a rewarder. Intense circumstantial doubt. The enemy will throw it up in your face and he'll make sure you know he's put in your face, and he will provide an atmosphere that's 100% opposite of what you're believing for. See if this becomes stronger. And now I'm starting to get it. It don't matter what he's throwing at me. If I'll just keep doing what the Lord said, when you pray, just go do it. Make it a part of your daily prayer is what he's saying. Make it a part of your daily prayer to enter. Make it a part of your daily prayer to abide. Make it a part of your daily prayer to ask. But then make it a part of your daily prayer to get your heart in a position that's received it already. To see that it's received an image and let that word develop that inside you till it becomes like a rock. Because it will become a rock. It'll become immovable. Your body, your soul will shake, but that thing won't move. And if you keep bringing it to God, it becomes stronger and stronger till it overrides the world system. Till you stand in front of the world system and say, greater is his word in me than any circumstance you can bring around it. It's greater. Man, it's a cool way to live. Especially when you've got the edge. See, that seems like a lot of work. The reward will be worth it. You know why? Because the first one's going to be the most difficult and the other ones are going to come boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden you're going to go, this is easy. Do you know that nobody in this life, no matter what they have done and championed the cause or championed their arena, nobody that's become a champion in anything they've done to come to the very top did not encounter hostility, did not encounter Thomas Edison. How many times he tried to do the light bulb? 700 times, but he got it. 700 times he failed. No matter what, you might have gotten handed to you. You might have gone through. Why can't we just get back up and say, you know what? I've already settled this, Lord. That you're a rewarder. I'm not going to let go because this is precious now. What's inside of me? I've already seen other things, but this is the one thing he can't have. You know, the devil lusts for everything. He has a fire burning inside of him that's never enough. It didn't matter if he had 100 million people he could kill off. He'd want 100 million more tomorrow. God says, Israel's mine. Little patch of land. He said, that one's mine. And the devil can't stand it. And he wants to destroy God's people. He's always wanted to destroy. But they can't because there's a word. And that word will not ever allow God's people to be destroyed. Hitler tried to wipe them off the map, and then right afterwards, they become a whole nation. You're never, ever going to defeat God. So it doesn't matter what our word goes through. Remember, it's going to far outgrow us, and we're going to bring it up into the earth. Amen? He said, the finished word within the realm of the heart will be fully anchored and immovable, ready to be transplanted and activated into the realms of the earth controlled by the devil and darkness. So when he gets ready, when that word is finished, watch this. It's moved out of heaven. It's moved into you. And now he's going to move it into the earth and override anything and everything that's contrary to it. There's going to be an overwhelming, overriding operation. And that word is going to be forever settled for the rest of your life. Well, that thing you believe God for, worked, labored for, is going to be yours. Whether it's generational inheritance, whether it's promise, it doesn't matter. If it's in his name, it's yours. I would suggest, don't make the mistake I made. My mistake was I shot too high. I wish I would have worked something far less than what I was working and started let my faith build. Telling you, we are people of faith. There's nothing like it though. Even in this process of it, there's nothing like standing on it and seeing what I see inside right now. It's actually producing joy on the inside. I see it. I feel it. It's becoming so alive on the inside. I know the devil can't have it. I won't let go of it. It's large. It's big. It's huge. It's going to change a lot of things. And I know God's going to transplant that thing into the earth. But I do wish that I would have started with something smaller while I did this too. We are people of faith, and God wants us to be people of faith and to exercise this realm of the heart. We haven't let our faith go over there and let him start teaching us about that realm, but that's an integral part of getting answered prayer from heaven, is allowing our faith to slide on over to the finish line. See that I have given and start exercising. It might be awkward. Well, listen, when we first went through the door was awkward, but now it's second nature. So add an element to your faith while you're in faith, but we have to add this element to see that I have given or believe that you have received. That's a state of the heart that's moving within to a finished position. It'll look like something. It'll feel like something. It'll taste like something. It'll see like it's done. And there needs to be some place that you can earmark as done that tells you that that was done, that you can arrive to every day. For Ron and I, it's a wedding day. But if Noah could see a boat that's never been built before, surely you can give me an image. Start with a desire of your heart, chief desire. What do you want that you don't have? Penuel is a major part of that. And that is a word, by the way. We talked about that Sunday. That word has become a realm. That realm is the open door to our wedding day. Penuel is not our wedding day. It's the open door that I have to go through to that wedding day. Amen? But Penuel, when you do this and you meditate upon his word day and night, he expands. So what he gave me the other day is I'm looking at Joshua. He goes, I just didn't cause the sun to come up that day. I caused my sun to shine upon that man. When I changed him, my glory was shining over him. And I made him a beacon of favor and a beacon of light. And I placed all of heaven right down on him. And I made my son a favor, glory, grace, and mercy for him and his entire generation within him shine down on him. See, those kinds of words you get that explode in the side of you, that explode your promise. And now what do I do with that? Lord, when I get to Penuel, how do I make it living? How do I see that Penuel's been completed? You make your son shine upon me. Let there be light. Take that word. Bring it before God. Ask him for the spirit of wisdom and the revelation. Father, let this thing live in me. If we're going to be the kind of people that God wants, he wants to give birth something out of us. Amen? Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. There's always a new way. There's always a greater light. There's always a greater glory. And that glory lightning that he's moving through is what causes this thing to live when nothing else around you is living. But that thing's living. And as long as it's living, I've got hope. As long as I got hope, I stagger not at the promises of God. Strong in faith, giving glory that what God has promised, he will perform it. Fully persuaded. Abraham got there. and you and I will get there. And the way to get there is let his face and his word move you to the finish line the way he did Abraham. Move on into the finish line. See that I have given. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.